B-Pod Studios.
Five of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. Joe, during that headline, it sounded like you're starting to run out of steam. Did we wear you out there?
I'm good to go.
He expended a lot of energy last hour. I mean, it's like one of those things where you're a distance runner and say the race is 5 miles long. Joe really kicked it into gear during mile three, but now we got about a mile left and Joe might not have a lot left in the tank.
Oh, I'm good. Where do you want to go now? Do you want to go gambling in Boston? We can go Cam Newton touchdown and at Logan Airport yesterday. You know, we can talk about Woody Johnson. He sucks too. I mean, I don't know. We can do whatever you want.
That's
right,
good
now.
Woody Johnson talk.
I just know that at some point before 9 o'clock, I'm going to hear this.
Yeah.
He's and it's just going to be Joe. Just for 10 o'clock, just hitting the deck. You good?
I'm great, man.
Just want to make sure, man.
Can I tell you, by the way? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I thought of you last night, Rich, because I know what a fan you are of mythological creatures, and
I am the biggest fan. I have a centaur tattooed on my ass. Crack.
I know. I just want to tell you that there is a professional sports team that might name itself after a mythological creature today, and the Seattle NHL team is going to name its team this afternoon at our time. It's 12 o'clock Eastern time. And the favorite, Rich, is the Kraken.
Ooh, the Kraken, release thy Kraken. But first, bring me the head of Medusa as I shall hop on Pegasus. Perseus, to the Aegean Sea. Please show thy Kraken the eyes of Medusa and he shall turneth to stone.
What just happened?
The other one,
Clash of the Titans, dude. Don't pretend like you never saw Clash of the Titans.
That's true. I did see Clash of the Titans.
Clash of the Titans was awesome.
It's that voice, man. It throws me off.
The other one you might appreciate was they showed. Remember the baby wheels?
It's a wheel, man. Yeah,
they had that as possible. But I have the odds in front of me of what the name for the next.
I want to tell you. I want to tell you what the favorites are supposed to be. There's the Steelheads, the Sockeyes, the Kraken. And the totems are the four that are being mentioned right now.
I like all of them.
Yep.
I like all of them. The Sockeyes are a great name.
There might have been a hint yesterday because the Seattle NHL team released a one-minute video where you have two people, I assume it's a father and his daughter, that are fishing in Puget Sound, which is right off the coast of Seattle. And they, did you catch something? And you pull up this mystery net, and it turns out to be one of those gull sirens, But the whole fishing motto lends it to be a sea creature. It could be the Kraken. It could be a sockeye. It could be a steelhead.
I don't mind the Kraken. I don't mind the Kraken at all, as long as Zeus giveth Pegasus the power and the shield of fury in which he is able to slayeth thy demon made of stone from the underbellies of the ocean. Poseidon will not be happy. Okay, so you've also got the what's it called, the Redskins. I guess it leaked that they're going to be the Sentinels. Is that what we heard yesterday?
No. I saw that. Apparently, a guy in Washington posted something debunking that entirely. I think that'd be great. I think that'd be fantastic. I mean, that's from the Replacements.
Shane Falco, yeah.
That's the Replacements. They call the Sentinels. And
yeah.
I don't know. It would be a great marketing thing if they chose to do it. But I read something online that's not the case.
Okay.
Marketing opportunities about it. There's a reason why Anaheim is the Mighty Ducks.
What's worse, Washington not having a name yet or the Toronto Blue Jays not having anywhere to play?
No, apparently they do have a place to play now.
I don't know. Because
that must have just broken.
This morning, apparently Baltimore has stepped up and said, we're more than happy to have you play in our ballpark. They have to get it, and this is the problem in Philadelphia, they have to have the governor approve it.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to happen. I read a report. I thought I saw that last night.
It doesn't matter what state you go to. It's not going to get better. The pandemic is pretty much everywhere. So, I mean, ultimately, it might be that Toronto plays all the home games in their so-called visiting team's ballpark. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know how there isn't some minor league team that has a decent facility where they could set up shop.
Like Pawtucket?
Yeah. I mean, like Pawtucket. But I mean, but then again, Rhode Island has done a pretty good job keeping the state. I think they're one of the, they're the handful in like the top 10 states that have kind of done this thing right. And I don't know. And that's the big problem is all these states are like, I don't want to welcome another team and people traveling from outside in here. And that's, dude, the season starts today, and the Blue Jays have no place to play. Now, I don't know when their first home game is. I think they start on the road.
I'll have to look. Yeah.
But either way, what's going to happen is if the season starts and they don't have the place to play, every game is going to be an away game. And all their home, they're just going to end up going and playing at the other people's home stadiums. And as I said before, listen, these guys are in a bubble down with the NBA. They're going to do the same thing with the NHL. They're all going to be away from their families for months at a time. That obviously sucks. But for the Blue Jays to be the only team away from their families throughout all of this, dude, that stinks. Like, that's obviously awful for them. I know why it's happening. I understand why the Canadian government's doing that. But, man, that really, truly sucks for those guys.
Their first five games are on the road. Their first home game is next Wednesday.
Okay, so they've got less than a week to figure this out.
And they have some good young ball players, like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., like, he's excited. I know he had that home run derby last year. The home run he hit yesterday, dude, I watched it. It went. It cleared the monster. It definitely mass pike.
No, they have some sellable players, but that doesn't factor into any of this. Right now, the problem is they have less than a week to find out where they're going to play. And they're going to find out while they're on the road somewhere. Whether I think they have Philadelphia, I forget where they play at the beginning, but honest to God, baseball is doing this legit on the fly. They're doing a lot of they don't know how many playoff teams they're going to be until this afternoon. So I mean, this is a major problem. It's just easier at this point. And Rich, if you can't go to states that are doing a good job with the pandemic, you sure as hell can't go to states that are struggling with it.
Oh, sure. And by the way, I'm being told on Twitter that Hartford, I guess, has offered Dunkin' Donuts Park where the Yard Goats play.
Yes, the Hartford Yard Goats, yes.
The old Yard Goats. Yes. But I mean, it's one thing for a team to say, hey, you can use our facility, and it's a completely different thing that actually takes a decent amount of time for the government of that city or state to go, cool, man, come on in. Especially when, I mean, the Canadian government is basically told, is basically not doing anything welcoming to the Americans right now. I understand why. You know, why would you kind of do something and welcome them with open arms this way? It just, there's a lot of weird politics that are going into this, and it sucks. And I feel like legitimately bad for these guys who just are going to be homeless for this amount of time and traveling and moving around. And as I said, it's different if the entire league was doing the same thing. But they're the only team in baseball.
And they're the only team, probably guys aren't making any money because they're all young players. I bet you these guys are just, I bet you they're making no money. Yeah, some of those guys.
If you're going to go to Hartford, if you're going to go to Hartford, you might as well stay in Buffalo.
Yeah, and listen, they could go to Man. Didn't they, New Hampshire, live free or die, baby? Like didn't they have their old minor league team there for years? So like maybe they could go back there. I don't know.
Maybe we head over to where the Lowell Spinners are.
Yeah, I mean, I just got like three tweets.
Let's go to a single A.
They do play double A at Manchester. I just
get
it up.
Maybe they can play during Joe Murray bobblehead night.
Oh, I love Joe. I like that.
Murray bobblehead night.
I'll be honest. One of the weirder things that has gotten me like legitimately excited and made me feel like I was really somebody special was my first bobblehead night. Like that's. There's been a lot of cool things.
You've had more than one?
I heard that you guys have like some hidden around. There might be some bobbleheads.
Oh, I have an entire box of Rich Certainly bobbleheads, which look exactly like Fred Toucher bobbleheads, except they're just the hair's a little bit different. But the Lowell Spinners did a bobblehead night. I couldn't be there that night. Like I couldn't actually go, but you know they had people sign autographs and all of that. You know, Fred sat down at a table and did that, and I've been very lucky in my life, and there's been very cool things that have happened to me. But to be honest, having your own bobblehead is way up there. It's like really, really something that irrationally makes me feel like I'm somebody who matters in this world.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, we all think of you that way. Even though we've completely forgotten what you look like.
It was like birth of my firstborn, bobblehead, rich shirt and leave night, birth of my secondborn, marriage, in that order, I think.
How about the Wallach head? Where does that land, John, for you?
Well, that's top. I mean, you can't beat that. I mean, you can have your bobblehead night. I don't give a fuck.
The best is every once in a while, a listener will like send me an eBay listing for my bobblehead, and it'll be going for like 99 cents. Just be like, and it'll be like on some shelf in some crap, like Five and Dimes, like some like pawn shop or something like that. It'll be like 99 cents. Like, oh, yeah. Well, I mean, what do you expect? Who the hell wants a Rich Shirtley bobblehead? But my God. And you know what? I'll be honest. The only thing that will make me almost feel quite as good is if I had a sandwich named after me. Like, to be honest, I got jealous. I was at the, I think it's the Main Diner.
Don't start.
I was the Main Diner.
Don't you dare go there. Don't you dare start. Yeah.
So I was flipping through the menu, the Main Diner, and I'm like, oh, okay, the BLT, the two the Dale Arnold.
Yep.
I'm like, the Dale Arnold sandwich.
Oh, my wife got a good laugh at that one.
What is that?
I didn't look, but
all right, you want to hear a quick story? Here's a quick story.
Okay. I'm assuming it was just like a bunch of white bread. Some mayonnaise.
No mayonnaise, plain.
So. But I was legitimately jealous. Like, I was irrationally jealous. And I'm like, damn it, I want a sandwich named after me. Like, I want to be going to a restaurant. It's like, yo, give me the shirt and leave. You know, I don't even care what's on it. It could be an insult to me. I don't care.
But that
would mean something to me.
I had forgotten that this was the case. I'd forgotten that that was on the menu. And so my father, you know, my father has a place in Maine, Rich, and it's actually kind of near there. It's about 2 or 3 miles away from there. So we take the kids. We go to the Maine Diner. We go in. We sit down and we're looking over the menu, and my wife in the middle of the diner just busts out laughing, and I had no idea why she was laughing, and she said, and she didn't tell me, and I didn't see it because that's a lunch thing, and I was ordering breakfast. And I swear to God,
she said, it's the only sandwich that steals your breaking news.
She said, no.
Before you take a bite, it yells at you before you go on the air.
The definition of Wall Dick.
I'm not speaking out of school. Dale Arnold seems like a nice guy every time I meet him, but I've heard stories of how he treated you, and I'm on Team Wall Dick whenever it comes. Anyone versus Wall Dick, I'm on Team Wall Dick.
I appreciate it. The story is that she didn't tell me what she was doing, and I didn't look at the lunch portion of the menu. And then the waitress comes over, and she says really loud, I want the Dale Arnold, please, in the middle of the restaurant.
Bet your ass. She saw you there, you son of a bitch. She saw you there. She's like, I'm going to make this brick sit here and squirm. Give me the Dale Arnold. I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to throw it at him.
I got to look at what it is.
I have forgotten. This is a while ago. I forgot what it is. Yeah. I like your whatever it is. I think we should. I like your version.
Oh, it's
better.
At the Main Diner. I see it right here.
I'm telling you. All right. By the way, somebody found a listing on eBay right now for the Rich Shirtley bobblehead. I'm up to $20, baby.
There you go.
I've truly made it.
So what is it?
$20? $19.99.
No, not you. What's
their
sandwich?
It's their famous lobster roll heated and served in a grill.
Boring.
Roll.
It should have just It should have just been a loaf of white bread. Just give it to you. There you go.
Mayonnaise and mashed potatoes.
Right. Just here you go. White. Everywhere you go. all right. I guess we need to break. All right. We'll be back.
Oakley.
We'll be back.
Dutcher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. It's a Dutcher and Rich, John Wallach, Joe Murray, and real quick, let's just go to Bob on line 2. Hello, Bob. You are on with us.
Hey guys. Hey.
Hey.
I went through a lot to get my Touch and Rich bobbleheads. Let me tell you, I was at that event in Lowell, and I had never seen bobbleheads before. It's like crazy. People were elbowing each other out of the way. It was madness. And my wife is only 5 feet tall, so she was like, there is no way I'm going near that table. So I got my Fred, and I couldn't get a Rich. Okay? So Fred without Rich is no good. I had to go on eBay. Okay? I got ripped off on eBay. The guy wouldn't send it to me. And then like a week later, I was in this store called Savers in Chelmsford. And right there was the Rich
bobblehead. Dude, Bob, okay, first of all, this is going to hurt me, but how much did you pay for it?
Oh, it was like $20.
20 bucks. I can take 20 bucks. 20 bucks is fine because I've had people, and somehow these things are ending up in like these like stores like that. And I'll have people like send me photos of it sitting on a shelf next to like a, I don't know, a box of Summer's Eve or something. And it'll say like $1.99 with a sticker on it. I'll be like, all right, maybe not the best thing for my ego. But you're right. It's I'd like to say it's because Fred and I are awesome and people were elbowing each other because it was a Touch of Rich bobblehead. But there's a weird bobblehead culture out there of people who just think they collect all of them. And then they realize that maybe they're not as valuable as they thought. And they bring them to Savers to have them sold, I guess. But so you got a Fred one signed. You obviously did not get me signed because I wasn't there that day, correct?
No, Fred was great. We talked about the Trailer Park Boys. He was really cool. Only time I met him. And I went to your anniversary show, too. I was there, but I got to talk to you guys. Yeah, Fred was great. He was awesome.
All right. Well, don't let Bob go yet. Bob, you said you get ripped off on eBay over a Rich Certainly bobblehead?
Yeah, what happened is I spent, it was like 20 bucks on eBay, and I never got it. A week later, I emailed the guy back. I'm like, oh, congratulations. You need the money more than me. Good for you. You ripped me off. And then, like, literally that weekend, I was at Savers, and then that's when I saw it. So.
What an ass. That.
All right. Well, thanks, Bob. Hey, Bob, listen, I'll if you ever want me to sign it, I'll do it, or I'll probably lessen the value, but I've got no problem signing it. I'm sorry I wasn't there that day. I think there was something, it was something actually, like, medical that I couldn't go, but I heard it was awesome. But thank you. I'll take, Frank, one, I'll take anybody where the subject line says John Wallach is an idiot. Frank, you are on.
Hey guys.
Hey.
So I just wanted to talk to John for a second. When he was talking about Isaiah Thomas, he mentioned that Tim Thomas came out of nowhere in the 2011 playoffs. And I want to point out that he did win the Vezina that year.
Season he came out of nowhere. It was my point.
He won in 08-09. He didn't exactly come out of nowhere. I mean, maybe Mrs. Eagle doesn't allow hockey. He watched in the nest or, when the games are on, he's out catching fish in his talons. But, right now I'm kind of wishing that Zoe would come in and smack him in the arm like he used to in the crossover because he kind of deserved it for that one.
I agree, Frank. John Wallach is an idiot. He knows nothing about hockey, especially Timmy. I'm on Team Frank on this one. Defend yourself, sir.
I think hockey fans are so sensitive about everything. That's what I think. I think hockey fans are so sensitive. Honestly,
what do you mean sensitive?
All right, I'll tell you. It has been my experience in the past that if anyone says anything wrong about the sport, we get an avalanche of phone calls saying, you don't understand. You don't get it. You're not a hockey purist. You don't know.
John, if you're wrong all the time, people are going to say that about you.
So my point being that I don't think anyone expected that performance out of Thomas in the playoffs. Now, you're right. Thomas had success before, but I think watching Tim Thomas that year, did anyone expect Thomas to be that good for that length of time?
No.
He had one of the best postseasons in NHL history.
He did have the best, but no one saw that best postseason coming. That was my point.
The year before. The way you look at it. All right, and just to back you up on the hockey hardos, like, I feel like I can't go at him anymore because some guy that was a Zamboni driver came in and won a damn game. So all the guys who tell me that they play at Hockey Town and all that, they now have a chance.
That's right.
So I can't go against them anymore.
But you never played the game. You don't know what you're talking about. You get that all the time, more from hockey fans than any other fans. That's all.
Oh, hang on. If we're going to rank sports hardos, like the you don't know what you're talking about, hockey is not first. It's got to be UFC. UFC,
you didn't beat Conor McGregor. He beat Nate Diaz for that title.
I'd say paying attention to Masvidal, man. You know what?
I'll put something above UFC, and I'm about to get right to the heart of Joe Murray here, and that is betting hardos. Gambling hardos might be the biggest hardos of all of them, and I'm starting to hate myself how much I'm using the term hardo.
I went 5-0 this week, yet I know nothing about soccer. It's like, dude, I went 5-0. Can I go worse than 5-0? Oh, it's the worst. You're right. It actually is the worst.
And the reason I know this is because, A, I follow both you and Lifshatz on Twitter because you guys are very good at your gigs. But, B, because you guys have the thinnest skin of anybody I've ever worked with. If somebody ends up, like, saying something on Twitter to you, just like that you're the slightest bit wrong, you guys go all in. And to be quite honest, I never change, Joe. Never change because it's wildly entertaining.
I think Lifshatz got thinner skin than me. And that's actually true.
I co-sign. That's very true. No. That's right.
Still bad. He'll agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it just at what point in everyone's career do you realize you don't win in a Twitter war? You just don't win.
It's like fighting the seaweed, the tide. You know what I mean? I'm out there. You know, I'm trying to get all the seaweed out of there. It just comes back 6 hours later. Keep doing it.
Because there's really not a lot of baseball hardos. You know, there aren't. Because maybe they're just too nerdy like Wall.
Yeah, they're all like, well, statistically saying, Kevin Pillar really is better than Jackie Riley Jr.
And there's a criticism of basketball fans that everything's great and, you know, the green team or stuff like that. Everyone's kind of laid back in basketball as well. There's a difference between the football hardo and the Patriots hardo. Like the Patriots one, we know that is, you know, you say anything anti-Patriots.
I've said it before, I'll say it many other times. The worst thing about being a Patriots fan is other Patriots fans. Yeah.
But I don't think that there are, as far as like the big four, you might be right. Although the good news is, you know, I like that we're kind of the unofficial hockey show because even when they sucked, we had those guys on for you. We legitimately like the game and we love the team. But I mean, I listen to other shows and stuff, and I don't think there really is a sport more where somebody calls in and clarifies by saying or starts off, but hey, listen, I play rec league hockey, or I played college. You know, there are a decent amount of people who want to explain the game for the layman. Not as much with us because, you know, I think they're all maybe not even awake yet, most Bruins fans, but I think that.
Why you say that?
Because they're my kind of people, and I'd be sleeping too if I didn't have to get up at 6 a.m.
So you're saying they can't hold jobs now? What are you saying?
No, I'm saying that they probably had a really fun night the night before.
This is Rich certainly talking. This is not
me. You know what? And every Bruins fan probably goes, dude knows this. Dude gets it.
Get my Ken Linsman jersey out of the laundry.
If you had to rank the teams right now, though, it'd be what? Patriots, Celtics, Bruins.
What are we ranking
like
now?
The four
ranking
teams
in what?
Town.
Like good-looking dudes?
No, I mean, it's teams in town right now.
In what category? What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, like as far as like popularity.
Hardos or
popularity?
Patriots won and what?
How much of a sports radio argument do you want to make? Jesus Christ. Let's rank the teams by popularity.
Well, where I'm going with this is I'm so upset about the Red Sox and this Mookie Betts thing is that like people are pissed that like they don't have a fullback for the Patriots. And they think that's the reason why they don't win a Super Bowl. Like
Bruins, by the way, real quick, Bruins Luchador tweets in and says, up 4:30 every day. Now I'm angry.
Yeah. I don't understand why you think all Bruins fans are falling down drunks. I don't get that at all.
I didn't say fall down drunks. I said they're my kind of people.
You said none of them would be awake at 9:30 in the morning. That means they drank too much last night.
I didn't say they wouldn't be awake. I said they wouldn't care at 9:30 in the morning.
No. You said none of them were listening. And why is that? Because none of them are awake. That's what you said.
Maybe I did say that.
Yes, that's exactly what you said. Rich certainly believes all Bruins fans are fall down drunks that are unemployed.
Hang on. Are we going to start saying who goes the hardest out of the fan bases? Bruins fans.
No, we're not arguing that. They go it now. I swear to God, we've had how many times have we played this center? I'm going to be so hungover. I'm not going to do anything.
But the man is
at work. He's at work. He may not be doing anything, but he has a job and is not asleep. You are making the assumption that all Bruins fans get wasted and just can stay home in the morning.
And you know what? That was an unfair assumption. It should have been that they all like to get wasted and then they somehow make it to work the next
morning. That's right. They're all employed. They're hardworking folk.
But agree with me. They throw down more than any other fan base.
And that includes the women. All of them. Absolutely.
The women won't even take the Marlboro out of their mouth before they tell you to go F yourself.
That's right.
Like, I mean, like, dude, that is easy. There's no fan base
on that I feel
more comfortable around than the Bruins. That's why Bruins recaps are always the best of them all, because they're just, that's who they are. Red Sox fans, you guys need to loosen up. I mean, they're a bunch of Dan Roaches and John Wallachs and stuff. You know, you guys like bring stat cars and stuff like that. I want a fan base that gets into fights. All right?
We like baseball encyclopedias. What's your problem?
Guys gonna start watching wrestling.
By the way, somebody just tweeted, hey, Rich, if the deaf guy heard you, you must have said it.
It's only in one ear.
What? All right, 617-779-0985. I don't know what we're going to talk about next. It's going to be something amazing, I'm sure. But here's Joe Murray, who has not run out of steam, with the headlines.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, stack, stack.
right, 985 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Mr. Wallach, what do you got there?
Yes, sir. Stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payments, no payments, 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
All right, I know we're all over the place this morning, but I did want to mention something to you. I tried something. I saw an article yesterday, and it seems stupid enough to try, and I just happen to have the things to make it work. So I read this article yesterday about, I guess, this new thing where people are putting pickles in their beer to make it taste better. And I'm not talking like, you know, like sliced, like the sliced pickles you put on like a burger or something like that. But the example they used was like a spear of Grillo's and like a cheap beer. Apparently people are doing this with, you know, like really inexpensive kind of cruddy beer to make it taste better. They'll put a pickle in it and all of a sudden it tastes like an amazing beer. So I tried it yesterday because I don't have Grillo's, but I've got something kind of similar to that. And you apparently put it in for like 2 minutes. It's legitimate. Like it actually makes it, it almost, you know, like when you put a lime, like in a beer, how it kind of just like, yeah. it's like that. And it's, you think it's going to be weird. And I guess it's something to do with the chemistry of the acid in a pickle and the way it, now I did it with, apparently you're not supposed to do it with like an IPA, but then again, IPAs drive me crazy. Now there was a period about 6 or 7 years ago where I went all in on like Heady Topper and stuff like that. And it just felt like I was drinking biscuits. Like I think I ruined myself for IPAs for the rest of my life. And now it's all lagers, light beer, and wheat beer. Like anything that's like clear that you can see right through. And I tried it last night and it doesn't suck. It's actually okay. You just put it in for like 2 minutes.
Does it fizz and foam and all that?
It does. Yeah. Absolutely. It does. Yeah. You put it in there and there's a little bit of a little show. And then after about 2 minutes, you take it out, and it's kind of all right. To be honest, if I've got pickles and I've got, you know, like a lager around.
So it's not something you would seek out to do. It just, if you happen to have pickles in the house, you would do it.
Just,
my point is, if you buy beer, it's not something you say, well, I have to get the pickles too. You know what I'm saying?
No, I wouldn't seek it out. But okay. I mean, if I'm in a store and I walk by the pickle aisle, I might go, okay. And I might just grab it. I'll pop it in there.
So it's not awesome. It's just something a little different that was a pleasant surprise.
Because you expect it to be gross. I mean,
Have you ever had a pickleback shot? Gross.
Yeah, you see, I don't like that stuff. I know people who are like, let's do a pickleback. And I'm like, well, Joe Murray, in your words, out. But for some reason, it works. So just give it a try. It's just something stupid that I was pleasantly surprised by. That it was a dumb article that I came across. I don't know if anyone's done that before, but I don't even. If somebody offered me a pickle flavored beer, I'd say you're disgusting. No, I want to drink beer. But for some reason, it works, and it's not life changing. But I don't know if I'm the only one who's done this. But I thought it was fairly impressive. Just give it a try and yell at me if you didn't like it. But you know, if it ruined your beer, but there's no way that probably would. All right, real quick, I wanted to get to this because Joe Murray, you're in studio. I don't know why they haven't done this, and I don't know why it's taken this long, but it seems like there is a real, real issue, not real issue, a reality that we might be getting sports gambling here in Boston soon. Like after all of the foot dragging that we've had, and apparently this is a thing that Charlie Baker is looking at seriously to get more money because of the pandemic and to put more money into the economy. I've always thought if you're a grown adult and, you know, you can do what you want with your money and sports gambling is such an easy way to get, you know, taxable income for the state. I don't know why there's been such a huge issue. And what are you hearing, Joe Murray, on the latest?
I've heard nothing. But again, the article that you're referencing is basically saying that sports betting could help Massachusetts recover from this pandemic. I think it could add more jobs. That's for sure. And, you know, put more money into the casinos and getting more people out there. I think it could help. But as far as what I've heard on the front, there was supposed to be something passed this over the summer. And I think everything has just been held up. So there were supposed to be talks about it. Obviously, we know about like federal aid and everything happening with businesses. I'm not sure, but if the governor's in on it, and obviously there's a big stake right now in the casinos that's happening. You know, Encore just reopened. Like, they're going on a big push. You'll hear their ads all over the Sports Hub now, too. But, you know, there are concerns about allowing sports betting, you know, hurting the integrity of games. That's pretty much what the big talk is in town.
We've learned that that's not the case.
I agree with you.
And by the way, I think it's a moral reason that they're not doing it. I think there's this big, you know, well, I just don't understand how you can sit here and say – you know, people aren't mature enough to make their own decisions with their money when you're still selling booze, cigarettes, you know, you're selling pot, you're selling, I mean, you know, scratch tickets. People, at some point, you have to be able to trust the people. You got to give them that choice. You know what I mean? This isn't anything that, it's something also right now, we could use this money in the economy, and I don't know why they're depriving people of it. So I just, I've had a big issue with there being no gambling in the states, especially when it's worked in other states.
And I will just mention that David Friedman, he's the like legal representation, the representative of the Red Sox.
Yeah.
He's the one that says that it might not be a grand slam, but having sports betting in Boston could at least be a single to try to help.
Do you? I was just going to say, if the pandemic had not hit, how long would it be until sports gambling?
I think it would have been this football season.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay, so this didn't speed it along. Yeah. It was going to happen anyway.
I think it was going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen now by football season, though.
Like, all right. So, right. Does this hurt or help you?
I mean, no matter what, no, no. I mean, listen, you can go. No.
I mean, any kind of
no
income you might make on the side, does this help or hurt you?
No, it does nothing.
Or how about people you know?
I'm just going to say, those lanes that were open remain open. You know what I'm saying?
All right. You want, all right, so here's the deal. When you go on a book, right, you have to insert money and then bet. If you go through a local, it's kind of like, hey, I want to put 500. Okay, we'll take 500. There's no credit going on there. You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's kind of like if you win, you get your 500 bucks and you put nothing up. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
That's the deal with the books is you actually have to insert your own money first.
Yeah.
And then
you're right.
Bet
it's
with
like
your
going. It's like going to Vegas and walking up to the stand and going, here we go.
Yep.
And then, you know, they give you your money back if you win. But in your case, or in a people you might know's case, you know, you say, hey,
it's like, hey, Joe, let's put a double dinghy on it. I'm like, all right, double dinghy. I don't even need your credit.
That's right. Double dinghy, baby. Dinghy on. My word's good, man. My word's good. So, all right. Well, I mean, I thought that was so interesting that came out, and I didn't know if that how.
But if the books can hold that money or the state can hold that money, so you get what I'm saying? It's like,
that's where
it could help.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right. Well, we shall see. I mean, anything you can do right now to help boost this economy, I'm all for. All right, so this was interesting because we talked to Jake DeBrusk yesterday, and we asked him about everything that was going on with David Pastrnak, and everyone knows the story by now. He wasn't supposed to be skating with anyone but the Bruins. It was explicitly told to him and all the other players, the only people you skate with in Phase 1 and Phase 2 are the guys on your team during a sanctioned practice. He did not do that, and of course that meant he endangered the rest of the players. He skated for one day. All of the players that he skated with had to end up missing at least one practice. Many of them are back on the ice, though, but they were pulled away at an important time. Now, Cam Neely spoke yesterday, and it sounds like Pastrnak isn't going to be back on the ice anytime soon.
It's hard to say right now. I mean, my best guess would be Toronto, but, you know, there's hopes that before we leave, but my best guess would be Toronto.
Okay, so that's a week from now, right?
Toronto? No, they leave Sunday. For Toronto on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, I thought they left on like Monday. Okay,
no,
but still,
no.
But that's so during this time, think about that. And when does the round robin start?
The second.
Okay, so how much will he have been able to skate with the team before games that count?
4 or 5 days.
Oh boy.
4 or 5 days. I mean, it's a week from Sunday. August 2nd is a week from Sunday.
God, they need him. I mean, it's just it's
Rich. I refuse to be upset about this just yet. Yes, it was a boneheaded move. Yes, he shouldn't have done it. Yes, he cost some teammates practice time. But ultimately, if he's out there skating on Tuesday, he's going to be fine, right? He's going to have
I'm glad you're feeling good about that.
Well, no, I was just listening to what Cam Neely just said. He said, you know, it might be before we leave, but it'll probably be when we get to Toronto. He didn't say maybe by Toronto, maybe not. It seemed to me like he was erring on he could be back this weekend. I'm still saying he's going to get 3-4 practices and he's going to be available for round robin play, you know, against Philadelphia, against the Capitals, against Tampa Bay. And, you know, we already know the Bruins are going to, you know, space out playing time. They're not going to go, you know, full force until they get to the playoffs. I mean, Halak's going to get one of these three games. My prediction is Pastrnak will skate next week. Maybe he won't play huge minutes in these three round robin games, but ultimately he will be fine.
Well, Neely continue.
Come back to me next Wednesday when he's not skating and say, you said this. Fine, I'll take that. I'll take that. But based on what I just heard from Seabass, it's going to be fine.
This is the only team that I'm like actually kind of stressed out about. As I said, the Celtics, I don't think they have a chance to win. They have a chance, but I don't think they're going to win a championship. I think it's going to be fun to watch them, and I believe that they'll make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but the Bucks are a steamroller. They're going to win. The Bruins, I'm nervous. Like, I don't want them, like, I want them to be perfect going into this because like they're going, if they can win this, if they just don't mess up. And I know that Cam Neely was talking about, you know, whether or not this is going to continue with Pasta when they get to Toronto, and it sounds like almost like he's calling out his behavior.
Obviously, with what's played out and transpired, you certainly would have hoped there's some different decisions made. But in the long run, I don't know if it's going to really affect us once we get into Toronto. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, the bubble's the best thing that can happen to this team right now. And I'm not worried, John. I'm just like, yeah, I am worried. Just because that's how I feel about
it. He just said it again there. It's not going to affect us long term. Pasternak will play. He will be ready to go when it matters. Now, the danger is if you don't get as much practice time as everyone else, you get the lower body injuries. You get the hamstring, you get the groin. You know, the body isn't accustomed to working that way, and he's not accustomed to the physicality. That's a real worry, but he will be available to play. I'm not worried yet. And there's no reason to get that pit in your stomach before it really has to be there, which is in a couple of weeks.
By the way,
because we know the NHL playoffs are very difficult to watch, especially if you root for a team that's heavily favored like this.
I was talking at the beginning of the show about how I showed my kids Dumb and Dumber for the first time. And, you know, I've seen the movie a million times, but reason this was the first time that I sat back and I said, Cam Neely as Seabass is a top five performance by an athlete in a movie. I mean, he's legitimately got great chops in that film. If you didn't know that he was Cam Neely, you would have thought he was a great comedic side character, somebody who had, like, you know, worked with the Second City or something like that. Because the moment that got me was when he kicks down the door when Jim Carrey's in there for the big manly love, and there's a split second where you see Cam Neely just crack this small smile as if he's going, it's you. Like, thank God. And I just, I sat there and went, you know, there really aren't many athletes who have just nailed a role as good as Cam Neely did. And it got me thinking because somebody had sent me an interview that Cam Neely did with our good friend Rear Admiral recently. And I forgot, years ago we interviewed Cam Neely and I asked him about that. And he told them the same story that he told us. I completely forgot about this. So I guess that Jim Carrey was getting a little bit frustrated that Cam Neely wasn't nailing the scene where he kicks in the door and comes in. So on this take, after Jim was kind of getting frustrated, Cam Neely, they say, action. Cam Neely kicks down the door, and the reaction of Cam Neely's face where he cracks a smile is that Jim Carrey had dropped his pants. And, like, when he walked in, like, that smile's legitimately him laughing that he had pulled his pants down as he kicks in the door. So maybe I'm giving Cam Neely a little too much credit for that awesome subtlety in acting. Like, it was like a master class when I watched that. But, I mean, dude, that's one of the all-time great athletes in an acting role performance.
Kick his ass, Seabass.
I mean, it's great.
He's thinking if you're an actor and you've been through, you know, however many movies Jim Carrey had been through by then, and you're working with someone who's inexperienced, I assume it's that way when you're acting with children as well. You know, it's dealer's choice. You're never really quite sure what to expect, and after a while you invent ways to get the most out of these people that you can. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's great.
That's why you drop your pants in front of Cam Neely.
You know, Cam Neely obviously can be, you know, a fairly surly gentleman when you interview him. And I know that there's been some definitely contentious, not as much with us, but I know with Felger and Maz, there's been some.
Michael, Anthony, how are you?
I know.
I'm aware.
That's exactly right.
I just remember when we sat down, and it was before the Winter Classic. Remember, he came in and he sat down and talked to us right before the Winter Classic. And he sat down and looked at us like, all right, I got to talk to these jackasses.
He does not suffer fools gladly. No, that's true.
And when the first thing I asked him about was Dumb and Dumber, I've never seen Cam like this. He just lit up and was like, dude, let's talk about that. And he was like, you don't know how many more people recognize me for that role than they do as Cam Neely when I'm out and about. And I'm like, dude, I bet. It's, as I said, in one of the best comedies ever made, it's a top five scene. from that movie. And he helped make it. Seabass was a great character. And they tried to recreate that in Kingpin with Roger Clemens. It didn't quite work. Like, Roger Clemens didn't have the chops that, of course, Cam Neely had.
Brett Favre, you know, you can go on and on. Favre didn't have it either.
Favre just showed up and pulled a Lee Trevino and Happy Gilmore and just like, oh, and just made like a face, and that's about it. See, that's not, that doesn't make a true great performance. Cam Neely, Terry Bradshaw, and Cannonball Run is the only performance by an athlete that I can put even in that stratosphere. It's those two guys and then basically everyone else.
Hey, Rich, I just wanted to mention tomorrow, a little show note, our man Johnny Wallgame on Red Sox opening day will be sitting in the a-hole chair tomorrow.
It's going to be Joe and I tomorrow.
Big swinging Johnson chair.
That's right. Times
Get
two,
ready.
Baby. Times two. So, yeah, Joe and I have the show tomorrow.
All right. Well, I should be looking forward to that. I might actually wake up at 9:50 to hear some of that.
Oh, Rich, you have no idea how much I'm looking forward to that tomorrow. As a producer of this show, I've been looking forward to that for about 11 years.
He's going to be swinging it like a cane, isn't he?
I'm going to ride John like a rented mule. We're going to be on time for every break. We are going to be...
Joe, don't let him push you around.
All right?
Yeah. You've earned your spot as the number one fill-in chair on the Toucher and Rich. You've earned it. You've worked hard.
That's right.
Don't take any of that nerd's crap tomorrow, okay? All right? Throw it right back at him. Please. I give you permission. Matter of fact, you might even move up in status if you were able to dish it right back to him. Hell, maybe you'll take his spot. All right. So, all right. Well, thank you for everything today, everyone. I guess we'll end it here.
Enjoy your weekend,
enjoy
sir.
The dinghy, buddy.
Yes.
I will. I will enjoy the dinghy in my attempt to get...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.